Welcome to the second season of the Gutsy Health Podcast with Shanique Roney and Gina Warfel, where we share uncomplicated, practical, and affordable wellness education so you can be a self-healing champion. This episode is brought to you by the Gutsy Health Membership Program, a program that gives you inexpensive tools and resources to heal your mind, body, and soul. Visit our website at mygutsyhealth.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gutsy Health Podcast. We have a very special guest today. I'm actually very intrigued with this topic. So her name is Wendy Coulter, and she is a medical intuitive. And it's fun because on this podcast, when we first started out, I started with my late husband, Tristan, and we were very sciencey. And we spoke about research, and we spoke about how research is done. We went into a lot of heavy biological scientific facts. And then I brought on Gina, and she's this incredible dietitian with a master's in human health, but we bridged the gap between science and heart and soul. And so now we're going to just be talking, I think, science and soul today with medical intuition. And so, Wendy, welcome. This is kind of like the direction that we are going into with the podcast. Obviously not like entirely all soul stuff, but we keep trying to tell our listeners over the past now 2 years, Gina, have we been podcasting together for 2 years?
I think so.
What?
Oh,
I've known you for 2 years.
We should find out the anniversary of when we recorded together.
That's insane. I think it's like around this time, actually. But
I think so, too.
But I'm really excited to have Wendy on. So, Wendy, welcome. I can't wait to hear about what medical intuition is, how you got into this.
Oh, my whole story. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Well, first of all, thank you both so much for having me. It's really a privilege to be here. I love what you do. And I love introduction, too, because what you're talking about is the junction between scientific perspective and spiritual perspective. More soul perspective. I love that because that really is where medical intuition sits. I'm a professional medical intuitive. I've been a medical intuitive for over 20 years, and I teach healthcare providers this skill, meaning medical doctors, nurses, coaches, and people from every spectrum of healthcare, how to use this skill when they work with their patients and clients. And we're finding that it is so revelatory in terms of the information that comes through for my clients anyway, and certainly my students and graduates, clients and patients, that the information really supports the healing process in a way that other things may not. So it's very interesting to see how this works.
So this is something that can be taught. Anyone can become a medical intuitive.
Well, anyone can learn to develop their intuition to a point where they can use it for all kinds of things, including what their body is asking for, right? As a medical intuitive, what I'm doing is I'm asking the body directly, what is it you want? What is missing? What is it you need? Why is there an imbalance here? What can rebalance it? Those are very deep questions with, you can imagine, a whole range of answers.
So how did you get into this? What's your story?
I was always an intuitive kid, like most people are. It wasn't shamed out of me. Like most people get, unfortunately.
Can you go into that a little bit more? Because I want people to hear this. You said everyone is. I think we are all born very intuitive and energetic beings. Can I quickly go on a little tangent? And then I want you to finish telling us. I think like our babies, they get us, their only language is energy. And so they pick up on the energy of their mom. So if their mom's anxious, they're an anxious baby, et cetera, et cetera. And so can you dive into that a little bit more? I think we lose our spiritual gifts as we get older because it's like beaten out of us.
Yeah, we don't lose them. They're just not appreciated or understood.
So
what happens is we'll sublimate them or we'll ignore them. And really highly intuitive people can't really do that very well. So they become kind of these bellwethers for all kinds of things. And there's all kinds of intuitive skill sets. The one that's probably the most common for people who feel very sensitive intuitively is called clairsentience, meaning clear feeling. And so they feel the information of everyone. Nurses are so clairsentient because they're picking up everything and acting on it in their jobs. But it can really be overwhelming when, you know, in their personal lives as well. And there's just a whole range of that. But you're right. What happens is children are usually shushed. Certainly when I was a teenager, you know, having all these intuitive experiences, my friends used to call me Wendy the Witch.
That's awesome.
Not that I was doing anything, but just picking up information and talking about it. Yeah. No one wanted to hear about it. It was a little woo-woo.
Yeah.
So
it's not a language we talk in this world. If someone has anything that's not normal, we shun it. So That's interesting.
It's very misunderstood, mm-hmm. hugely misunderstood, and particularly in the healthcare field. You know, when I speak at integrative health conferences, and I do a lot of that, doctors in particular will come up to me in kind of very hushed voices, tell me about their intuitive experiences with their patients and how mm-hmm. they can't talk about it with their colleagues. And that's just a shame. That shouldn't happen. It needs to be understood.
Yeah. So you've always been very intuitive. And then this led into, where did you go from there? From a teenager, what was your story?
I was always interested in things like energy work. And at some point in my life, I decided to study, like many people in that field, they're kind of drawn to it. And I became an energy healer later in life. And I started noticing that I had this sort of advanced visual intuition skill. I could actually see into the physical body, the physiology and the anatomy of my clients when I was working on them with energy work. And I could also see their whole life story kind of roll out in terms of whatever issue I was working on. And that became the cornerstone for me of how this process was built. And I didn't know what to call it at the time.
When you said you could see their life story, were you actually visually seeing something, or was this like an inner knowing? Like you just knew what their life story was. How did you receive that information?
Great question. And that question also speaks to another Claire. You mentioned the word knowing. Knowing is called claircognizance, meaning you're cognitively aware. So it's kind of just a mental awareness. I actually developed the skill, we call it mind's eye, seeing in your mind's eye. It's actually a very common human skill. All of these are, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Artists use it when they want to visualize something. We use it in guided imagery. It's a very understood skill set these days. And I was able to cultivate it so that I could actually see images in my mind's eye that had to do with my client's life or their bodies or whatever. So I use that seeing visual clair, you could say. And what I noticed was that sometimes my clients, when they're having their healing session, could release a lot of stuff, because that's the part, you know, energy healing, it's all about releasing energy you can let go of. And I noticed that some of my clients could release and some couldn't. And some had really sticky issues that just went over and over again. Didn't matter how many healing sessions they had or whatever they did, you know, medical world or whatever was going on for them, couldn't release this thing. I sort of stepped back and I thought, I wonder if I could get this information in a more comprehensive way and impart it to them before I even used my skill set as a healer. And I experimented with it. I had clients who were willing to let me look. And so I would do this sort of extended read, you could say, reading or looking at their energy and letting their body tell me what it wanted to tell me, letting their life history show me what it wanted to show me. And so much information came forth. That information was so powerful for my clients that when I went to do the energy healing afterwards, they were releasing things that they hadn't released in decades. And I realized that the informational piece of it was what was missing. And it was missing not only in my work, in energy work, but it was also missing in healthcare, broad, big swath healthcare. As I started developing this, I understood, you know, the skill set of medical intuition, and I started developing my own skill set with it and my own practice. I was working with doctors. They were calling me about their, they still do, about their difficult, challenging cases. We were having, you know, success after success. Eventually, I decided I needed to teach the medical world how to do this because it was such a gap. Yeah.
Is this the same as, we get questions all the time about the medical medium. Is this the same? Do you think that this give him more credibility? Just kind of curious. Is it the same thing or different?
Well, I think at root, it is probably the same kind of skill, meaning perceiving from the body's awareness. Medical medium works in a different way than I do. He has a different perspective than I do. It could all sit under the umbrella of medical intuition, meaning using a different kind of skill to gain information. I guess you could say that. But, you know, there's Edgar Cayce from the 1920s and 30s and 40s into the 50s. There's Carolyn Mace, you know, who really...
I read her book. Does she write Anatomy of the Spirit?
She did. A phenomenal book.
So fun little fact is when I first met my late husband, the very first book we read together, I was 17 and he was 22, and it was Anatomy of the Spirit.
Wow.
And like, it was literally that book that made me fall in love with him. Cause I'm like, if this dude is into this kind of stuff, like I got to clench onto him and not let him go kind of thing. So yeah, isn't that interesting? That was the first book we read together and I loved it. So she's wonderful. She's such a good life-changing book.
That book really talks about what is this thing. And to be honest, until I read that book, I didn't even know that was what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. That's
I'm like,
amazing.
Oh, okay. she and others have really brought this forward. And my new book, Essentials of Medical Intuition, I wrote that to kind of fill in the gap as well with the history of this skill set, the research around this skill set, the research I've done around this skill set, and what this really is, so that people in the healthcare field, no matter what part of that field, wellness to conventional, you know, alternative to conventional, you could say, understand what this is and how it can support it. Because this is not a unique skill set the way Reiki is or another healing modality is. This is actually a foundational skill that can support everything from alternative, integrative, and complementary and conventional medicine. So it really supports all of it. And that's what's different about it, I think.
Can you go a little bit more into that? Because how is it different? Because you're saying it's different from Reiki. Because that's a little blurry in my mind. Can you clarify that?
Well, Reiki, healing touch, therapeutic touch, and a zillion other hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of wonderful modalities that use the idea of the biofield, meaning your energy system, to help correct and heal the physical anatomy and the physiology. Those are wonderful skill sets, and there's so many of them. Those are unique modalities unto themselves, and they have frequencies and whatever they use and special hand movements and whatever for that particular skill set. Medical intuition is not that. This is not an intervention at all. It's not a healing modality in that respect. It's an informational process where the client or patient hears what their body wants them to know. And from that information, a pathway towards health can be created. And they take that information to their doctors or their healthcare providers. And listen, the body has a lot to say.
Yeah, I believe that.
Really? That information can be life-changing for people, you know, perspective-changing even.
So can I ask your opinion about something? Because I think this is very important to me and I want people to know this, and I'm curious as to your opinion on it. I hear a lot of people say, I go to my energy worker for this and that. And then I'm like, how many times? Oh, I go like every week for like years. And to me, I just feel like an energy worker is kind of like a crutch, right? Where you're outsourcing your power for healing really should be an internal intrinsic power that you are just as powerful, if not more powerful than your energy healer. And you don't have to wait for that 1 hour a week. You can tap into your own inner healing ability 24/7. So when everyone's like, oh, I want to, my energy healer does this, my Reiki person, that's great. What are you doing as well? Right. And so can I get your opinion on that? Because this is a fountain we can all literally guzzle from all day, every day, but we choose to wait for that 1 hour a week or 1 hour a month. And then we think all our problems go away. What's your thoughts? Clearly I'm a little biased, but what are your thoughts?
You're speaking my language here.
Okay, great.
Yes. You know, I'll briefly share my story of how I kind of realized this for myself. My body had grown a little tumor. This is back in my 20s, early 30s. And I had read Deepak Chopra's book, Quantum Healing, around that time. And he talks about this very thing. How do we shift our body's physiology with our minds? How can we heal our bodies with our minds? This is so cool. And with this little, it was a benign tumor. And my doctor said, well, you know, we're going to remove it just to be on the safe side. And I said, fine. I just read this cool book by Deepak Chopra. Do you mind if I try to get rid of it with my mind? Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget my doctor's reaction. She looked at me like I had three heads and antenna, you know?
It's I believe it.
But does not compute.
That's funny.
And I went home and I did his little visualization exercise. So visualization was really easy for me anyway. And I imagined a little happy scrub brush and some little bubbles, you know, scrubbing the thing away. Just fun, you know? Did that for a few minutes every day. And in 2 weeks, it had shrunk by half. And this was not going to shrink. I'm telling you, it was not that kind of
oh my gosh
thing. And my doctor wigged out.
Said, of course.
What did you do? And I'm like, here's the book. Here's what I did.
I did what I said I was going to do.
That experience really taught me what the mind-body connection is all about. You know, what does it mean? So I'm happy to say that it's so important what you brought up, that I teach a course in it for everyone, right? Yeah. And this course is called Medical Intuition for Healing and Self-Care. And it's a way for people to learn how to use their minds to communicate with their bodies. The people that take this program love it because they get to talk with their bad back for the first time. They get to listen to their liver, you know, they get to hear what their body or experience what their body really wants them to know. And that is such a powerful shift. for people to understand that they can make that connection.
Can we use the example of a bad back, for instance? What is the language of the bad back? I used to be a neurostructural massage therapist back in the day before I did all of this. And it became very clear to me over that decade of working that there was symbolism in each muscle and area of the body. And so when people would start telling, like when I take in their health history, it's like I almost already knew what their life was like because of the pains in their body. But I want to hear from you because a lot of people are probably dealing, let's use something that people deal with a lot, Hashimoto's, thyroiditis. What is the body trying to tell us? Like, what does that language look like, sound like, or is it very individual to everyone?
Yes, I love your story there because you're not alone. The people that are drawn to this work that want to develop it for themselves, pretty much everybody has a story like that. You know, I just got this knowingness. I knew how or whatever it was. So let me answer your question a few ways. Number one, there's a real tendency out there to do a this equals that kind of perspective, certainly in this area of healthcare, which is more spiritual or energetic, you would say. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
Because of everything I've seen over the last 20 years, a bad back might mean carrying too much responsibility. It might mean you're really pissed off. You know, It might mean a ton of different things. And until I personally look as a medical intuitive and inquire to have that conversation with your body part, why would I say it means this or that?
Yeah.
So sometimes lungs hold grief. Sometimes they hold something else, you know, a remedial, if I can say that without sounding rude, but it's almost a remedial way to deal with the body. That's not to say that might not be the case, but I consider them guidelines. And as soon as you make them a hard line, you're missing things.
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy on this. And I've noticed that over the years, that's served me well and my clients. Yeah.
That's a really beautiful answer.
That feels like you really truly have the client's best interest at heart, where I think we're in a world where everything is do this for this, plug and play. Like, do something that's very like packageable. Like, all you need to know is this plus this equals this. And people want that answer, but I feel the heart of the true practitioners who go deeper than that. And they're not quick to be like, this plus this equals this.
Yeah. What that is bias. That's another word for that. That's a really intense thing in healthcare. Look in conventional medicine and you'll see bias after bias after bias. There's a reason for that. Most practitioners will look through the lens that they are taught, right? Whatever that is, whether it's, you know, conventional medical training or it's acupuncture training or, you know, any other training. Everybody who is a specialist in something is a specialist because they've had that training. There's nothing wrong with that. You go to acupuncturists for acupuncture, right? Yeah. Don't necessarily go to them for other things. But the only challenge with that, the main challenge with that is this idea of bias. And that if you're only looking through this one lens, you're going to miss what could be influencing in other areas.
Yeah.
Where it really is rampant, of course, and unfortunate, is in conventional medicine. Almost all of my clients have been, I would say, let down, you know, in many ways by conventional medicine because their lens can be very, very narrow. And that's unfortunate. There needs to be this crossover between holistic, alternative, integrative ideas and concepts from every sector and conventional medicine, where it's really just kind of like this, you know, nothing else. We're in a really odd time, but I will say that integrative and functional medicine concepts are starting to take hold, at least parts of the country, and we're seeing more of a crossover here. And that's really what we want. That's where medical intuition really can do its job best.
So I have so many questions, but my first one is, like, you say doctors and nurses and holistic healthcare professionals come for training. Listeners sign up for your courses. Like, can anyone sign up for it? And how long does it take people to actually learn this skill? And I know that everyone's going to be different, right? Because everyone is different. But is it a month? Is it years? Is this something that, you know, they're going to have to practice every day and then they'll get it after 5 years? Like, so what's a realistic timeline for people? Because I want listeners to not be discouraged. Like, well, I can't do that. I believe they can. I believe you can do anything. But what kind of investment do they have to put in to open up this gift of theirs?
Thank you for asking that, really.
Yeah.
So I teach two programs right now. The main program is a one-year program. It is geared and designed for wellness professionals. Mm-hmm. There's more information on the website, thepracticalpath.com. And that program is designed to take people from no intuition or feeling like they don't have access to it, or they are very intuitive and they're aware of it. It doesn't matter where they come in. Where they come out at the end of that 1 year is a certification, practitioner certification program, is they will have the skill sets that we have researched and verified at 94 to 98% accuracy.
Wow. That's rad. That's yeah. really so cool. It's,
and people come in completely skeptical, which I have no problem with, mm-hmm. and they find that level of accuracy when they complete the whole training. We're doing even more research. I'll talk about that if you'd like to talk about the research, which was really yes. pretty mind-blowing, and how we got to those numbers. But for everyone who is not in healthcare, who wants to learn how to do this, the program is called Medical Intuition for Healing and Self-Care. Yes.
So for yourself?
Yes, for yourself.
I have to do this.
I know. Cool. That's why I asked the question. Because I'm like, I want to do this.
I'd love to have
this
you.
This podcast is very selfish. People don't realize that. I ask questions for myself. No, I'm just
That's the best kind of question, you know, because you know that you'll answer it for so many people.
True.
That workshop, it's a short form workshop. We're just creating right now a self-study, which should be online within the next month or so. And anyone can take it anytime. You'll learn how to create a mind-body connection so that with your thoughts, with your own thoughts, you can use this visualization skill to query your own bodies. And I have to tell you, you asked about bad back. That came from one of the students in that workshop who had a bad back, and she started talking to her bad back, and she's like, what do you need? What do you want? And it kept saying to her, I want blueberries.
Okay. Like, blueberries? That's so cute.
So she went out and bought 2 pints of blueberries and started snacking on blueberries, mm-hmm. and her back started healing itself. Okay, now that sounds really far-fetched. But when you look up what the compounds that are in blueberries and how there is actually research mm-hmm. about bad back pain, like L1 and whatever, lower lumbar, and blueberries, you're going to find all kinds of great data. So her body was doing exactly what I would do as a medical intuitive. Well, you know, your lower back is asking for, you know, blueberries or whatever the compounds are in blueberries. Isn't that wonderful?
I love it.
Just did it by practicing this. Now that's a short course. Anyone can take it and get the value right away.
How long did you say that course was? Did I miss it?
The short one, it usually is about 7 or 8 hours when I do it live. Cool. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of getting the timing for the online course, but it's very in-depth. It's so much fun. People really enjoy
that. You know, it's funny because in the Gutsy membership, we have this online academy and we actually like take people through visualizations, meditations of dropping into your body, getting out of your head. You know, when people are like, what protocol should I do? What should I do here? You know, I will flat out say, I don't know. Let's ask your body. You know, and have them do a meditation. So it sounds like you're teaching this to people way more in depth than our calls are. And that's phenomenal because I want everyone to learn that. Your body will give you an answer. It will give you an image. Some people, when they start, they feel very blocked and you have to practice this. It's like going to the gym and developing a muscle. It can happen. Like your body is like screaming at you all the time. We just put the volume down really low and we're not listening, you know? So
we're taught that. We're taught to.
Totally. Like, let's just pop the aspirin, right? Let's pop more aspirin here. Okay. So my second question is, who are these medical professionals? Because I'm very conflicted right now. I'm just going to be blatantly honest. I am doing coursework and training and material right now. I feel like since my husband died, it's taken me about 1.5 years to really jump back into studying and coursework and putting information back in my brain. I'm so conflicted because it's so sciencey, which is great. I feel like we get lost in the weeds. It's just, for every inflammatory pathway, there's a herb and a supplement and a diet and a restriction. And it's like information, 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 information. I'm like, I want to understand all of this, but it's so unbalanced, right? These are courses and classes that I'm doing with doctors and naturopaths and all of these things. We're missing the mark, right? Like, I feel like we're getting so lost in the pathways and the details, and we're missing this intuitive side. So who are these professionals that are coming to you? Because I don't see them. And I want listeners to understand, like, it's important to understand this information. But I find that as I'm getting more cerebral, personally, my body's health like deteriorates because I become more and more cerebral. And I'm like, wait a second, I'm losing. Where's my higher self knowledge around this? Like, I got to come back to self. I got to come back to spirit. I got to come back to heart. Yes, information is good. But the more I get lost in information and details, the further away I drive myself from my heart and my soul. And that's when my body starts to deteriorate, right? And I'm like, oh, great. I have to bring back in my meditation practices and my positive affirmations and re-regulating my nervous system. And I find when I go back to basics, you know, keep it simple, stupid. You know that acronym, like keep it simple, stupid, K-I-S-S. Yeah,
I'm with you. And so, I'm completely with you.
So who are these professionals? Because I have yet to see them. That was a very long about way of asking that question. Who are the people that are getting trained on this? And are you seeing them come more and more and more? And how can people find them?
Yes, I love your question. And I love your perspective because it is mine as well. One of the things I've noticed, and the rise in integrative functional medicine, which includes naturopathy and, you know, these wonderful perspectives on health, they do tend, be bold and say to miss the point.
It just feels so mechanical. It's so mechanicalistic for like, that's not even a word, but I'm going to throw it out there.
It is a word.
Is it mechanicalistic? Okay, great. Yeah. It feels so mechanical. And I'm like, my body is not a freaking machine.
Exactly.
And yet we're talking mechanism. And it's literally making me sick. The more I learn, the sicker my body gets. I'm in the wrong vibration right now. I need to go back to my meditation pillow with my incense and find myself. And you can tell I'm getting agitated because I'm feeling
right
torn apart right now. I'm feeling really torn apart. Like I have these two wolves fighting inside of me. One's like, science is important. And the other one is like, heart and soul is important. And I'm like, okay, where's the balance? And anyway, how can we find practitioners that are doing this?
Yeah. So I'm going to answer that. And I'm going to also answer the bigger question here is where is that juncture between science and spirit? Because that's the missing piece, isn't it? And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the reasons I'm so passionate about teaching medical intuition to healthcare professionals, because the perspective has been so off kilter for hundreds of years. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a point, I'm not going to veer too far off subject here, but there was a point in history where vitalism is the name of the movement that happened in the 1800s, 1700s, 1800s, that was about in Western culture, the idea of energy and a spiritual force or whatever you want to call it that animates the body. And around the 1900s, that was kicked to the curb big time. And this is why we have conventional medicine that is really only focused on this mechanical view of the body. You're not wrong. It is mechanical view of the body. We're coming around again, thank goodness, to the idea that there's this spiritual soul perspective that also influences health. It's not just mind and mental, it's spirit, mind, body, spirit. Let's not leave that out. And so you're right on with your concerns and you're feeling like we're really off track. When I look at functional integrative medicine, I often see a replacement of conventional pharmaceutical perspective with supplement, herbal, more natural perspective. Nothing wrong with that. However, it does miss the point.
Yeah.
And so the people that come to my programs to learn from me, they're the ones who understand it misses the point. They get it.
Yeah.
And they say that, look, there's something else here. I've either had an experience of this, and believe it or not, many, many doctors, the MDs that come through this program, every one of them has said, I know there's something more. I've had hits. I've had experiences where my intuition, my gut feeling said, go this way. And there was no logical reason for that. And that was exactly the way to go. Those are the people who want to learn more. And those are the ones who come out of this like ready to rock in their healthcare practices. And it's very exciting. So it's perhaps a slow movement, but I'm very pleased to say that, you know, I do a lot of speaking at universities, at medical departments of universities, usually the integrative or functional, you know, those kinds of areas. And we get huge turnouts from medical doctors who show up to hear what this thing is all about. I've taught at Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine to fourth year medical students.
Wow.
These are the young ones coming out into the world.
That's
they are
rad.
So excited about this concept because, again, it addresses a gap in a knowledge base that never talks about this. And yet there's an awareness of what does this mean? How does the mind, how does the spirit influence the body? How does life history influence one's physical health experience? How about that? There's a ton. I'm going to go on a tear here, so I'll pull the reins back in a moment. But what I want to hear say for your audience is that there is now a couple of decades, if not more, of research on, it's called adverse childhood experiences, meaning, or ACEs, you might've heard that, meaning our life experience, particularly our early life, traumas that are experienced in that time influence our later life health in ways that are not logical.
I believe that. 100 million bajillion percent. I believe that.
And medical intuitives have been seeing these connections for eons, right?
Yeah.
And when science comes out with something, they were like, oh yeah, we knew that. It just sort of solidifies the idea that this really needs to be integrated.
I want to ask before we go into the science and the research, what are your thoughts and opinions on the spiritual symbolism of disease and dysfunction in the body?
That's a big question with a really involved answer in many ways. First of all, let me say from my perspective, when there is a physical imbalance, there's always a reason for it. Some people say, well, you know, you can stub your toe and you know, things happen. Like, yeah, things happen, but never without some trajectory, right? So if you stub your toe, what was going on in your life that you weren't aware of your surroundings? It's like, what happened there? And it's not to shame or blame or any of that. What it's for is for information. What is my higher self? What is my guidance? What is my body trying to tell me to be aware of that could help me in the next step I take, kind of thing? So I have never not seen a story or a reason or a point of view in the physical body and the biofield having to do with a physical issue.
Yeah.
There's always something to look at.
Yeah. And I think the sad thing, just because with my husband's cancer, was I remember we were so cerebral in the beginning with it and just completely missed the mark. And it was, you know, when people ask, what would you have changed in your journey? I normally say I would have started with the mindset and with the heart of his disease, the heart and the soul. And I don't even like the word disease because it has such a negative connotation, but the coming back to alignment and oneness, right? I wish we'd started with his heart and his soul and mending that before we went into his body and just started pumping him with chemo and doing radiation and all that jazz, you know? So I wish we had started there because I think it is so important when it comes to these journeys. I think there's a calling back to self maybe, or a redirect. And Tristan even said that his cancer was a redirect for him. You know, it was like a course correction for him. And so even though he passed away, there's every part of me that believes that was part of his journey and his mission. And if it weren't for his cancer, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this stuff. You know, like we wouldn't have this clinic. And I truly believe that he's still involved every single day in this mission, just in a different way. But
that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful and very moving and completely accurate from my perspective as a medical intuitive. Cancer is a tough one, one of the top things that bodies have trouble with. And that doesn't mean there isn't information from the spirit and from the body in that journey as well.
It's interesting because, you know, it's funny. Gina and I would podcast. You remember back in the day, we'd want to talk about Tristan stuff and we'd be like, Tristan, are you okay if we talk about us? And he'd say, I'm an open book. You can share whatever you want. So I'm just going to share this for listeners. But I remember it took Tristan to die in order for him to learn to love himself. There was a lot of self-loathing and a lot like deep, deep self-hatred. And I'm not saying that caused his cancer, but I'm saying that if it weren't for his cancer, he would have never looked at that and he would have never healed that towards the end of his life. It was one of the most sacred and powerful things I've ever witnessed, you know? And so cancer is a bitch. I'm going to say that. I'm still terrified of cancer. So I want listeners to understand, like, I'm not minimizing cancer and I'm not being like, oh, it's so great. It's not. It sucks. But there was a silver lining to the hard and to the pain. And I'm grateful that I was able to watch his journey and watch him unfold and watch him expand and grow into this beautiful soul. And what's interesting is like, I feel like he was always meant to pass, but his soul was just so ginormous and he still shows himself to us all the time. I say he lovingly haunts us. So let's talk about the science. I would love to talk about the science behind this.
So I'm going to actually say a little bit about what you just said, which was so moving and beautiful, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our physical bodies, our spirits, we do have a greater mission. We come here to experience that and to learn and to grow. And sometimes it does take that, unfortunately, you know, for people to get there. And sometimes they never do. Yeah. But what you're talking about here is what I cherish in doing these sessions with my clients and what my students and graduates cherish as well. And that is the spiritual lessons of our lives. That is also part of medical intuition. It's the part that, you know, we don't talk about too much, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so personal, really. But without that, nothing makes any sense, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So beautiful. So science, what spurred me to do a research study was the fact that I looked in the literature, the scientific literature, because I'm kind of curious that way. You know, what do people know about this thing? Mm-hmm. Not a lot, not a lot. There have been a number of studies done. Most of them have been inconclusive, meaning there's something there, but we don't know what it is. We need to do more research. That's how they talk about it. And in every study I read, the doctors and the scientists that did those studies with these medical intuitives that were not trained equally, everybody sort of came to it from their own perspective and they tested them as best they could within this empirical model. The study designs are challenging because it's intuition. It's not necessarily going to fall into an empirical design, Right. Number one. And number two, you know, these medical intuitives were coming from all different kinds of practices and backgrounds. Not everybody was trained the same. But every one of the scientists and the doctors that participated said, there's so much interesting stuff here that if this could be developed, if this could be taught, then we'd change the whole paradigm of medicine. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm looking at this going, wow, my students are hitting their marks. They do a ton of practicum hours. It's very rigorous. The program is like, you know, you're going to learn this and you're going to practice it. And they do. And we come out with these terrific case reports with great results. So I thought, well, why don't we test my students? They're all trained the same way. Let's see what we come out with. And I had the support of some folks at the University of California, San Diego from that medical department. And they said, hey, you know, let's do this thing. So we created a study that was exploratory. It was subjective, but that's all we had to work with. Meaning we had patients from UCSD and we had people from the community come in and do a session with five of my graduates. And how we do this is we don't do any health intake. It's blinded. We don't even have our eyes open, so we don't get any visual cues. Everything's, you know, eyes closed. And the participants filled out a survey afterwards where they said, you know, how accurate was the medical intuitive. And that was really fascinating. We came out with a 94% accuracy in the medical intuitive's location and evaluation of their primary health issue, just by doing a simple scan with the techniques that they learned from me. And that was a wonderful number to see. 94% is higher than anything that has come before. And, you know, the doctor's like, well, we don't even get that.
Mm-hmm, right.
We also had 98% accuracy in the description of life history that relates to the health issue. 98%.
Wow.
And this is, we didn't know these people, none of that. Yeah. We asked the participants, how many of you had a diagnosis from your healthcare provider? You know what your issue is. They've explained it. And we didn't ask what it was, but about half of them did. And of that half, they rated the medical intuitive as 94% consistent with their known medical diagnosis. Now, that's a figure that really made the medical world kind of take notice, because that's the empirical data that we need to do next. You know, they said, no, that was absolutely consistent with my diagnosis.
Wow.
What are we talking about here?
That's amazing.
So, yeah, there was more data on that as well. We asked a ton of questions. We got so much great information. That study was written up, the peer-reviewed medical journal called Journal of Integrative and Complementary Medicine. And it's the first research done in over 20 years on this field. So we're very happy about that. Very pleased with these results.
How can people read that? I would love to read that.
It's on pubmed.gov. And if you look up Assessing the Accuracy of Medical Intuition, you'll find the study.
That's amazing. Listeners, look for that in the show notes. We'll have our team put that in there. But that's really, really cool. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Yeah, we were very pleased.
You should be very proud of what you've done. You're helping transform this world. I mean, we've been so dominant in one area. And I think we're all waking up and we're realizing there's more. And it's like this metaphysical moreness that we're all seeking out and we're starving for. Because when we get too cerebral about our healing, we completely miss the mark, right? And our bodies are like, yes, I want you to understand, but I want you to feel into what the need is here as well. You know, and so it's a balance. You know, we have to balance out the cerebral science with the heart soul connection, I think. And so that's what we just want to emphasize on this podcast and to listeners all the time. I see and I hear people, and even my Instagram feed, like I get overwhelmed going through it because it's like, you can die from this and don't touch your receipts. And oh my gosh, your water, look at these things in the water. That even overwhelms me. I know all of this and I just see it in my feed. It's just this mental toxic world that we're creating and projecting in our minds, right? And then the thought process is our world is toxic and dangerous and awful, you know? And so let's learn science and let's detox and let's do all these things to get ourselves better. But really it's like, can we also balance that out with taking a step back and self-care and self-love and self-connection and like listening to our bodies and what our bodies actually need? Because so many people, how many people have been on the medical merry-go-round and now the holistic merry-go-round of cleanses and detoxes and da-da-da-da, and they're like two steps forward, two steps back, two steps forward, two steps back. I think the reason why we keep reverting back is because there are other areas and other parts of ourselves that we actually have to listen to, like you're talking about, the spiritual, intuitive side that our body needs. Maybe it's just a bunch of blueberries. Maybe it's rest. Maybe it's playtime with your kids, you know, something simple like that.
Well, it's so beautiful what you're saying, because I agree with you 100%. And things have gotten a little out of control here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And out of focus, you could say. One of the interesting, wonderful things about medical intuition is I can ask, the body has its own consciousness, right?
Yes.
Every cell in our body has consciousness. Read Bruce Lipton's
yes.
work.
Mm-hmm.
And those are organs, are everything. And they have something to say. Right.
Yes.
So if we keep layering things on, and particularly out of fear, you nailed it, the body does not respond well to fear at all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what is it we're doing here? Right.
Right.
We want to listen. We want to dialogue. We want to find out. And yeah, we can try 1,000 things and get on that merry-go-round. But medical intuition is designed to narrow that, to get you the one or two mm-hmm. or three or whatever it is that your body really wants
yeah.
to explore to see what's going to work. And anyway, you said a mouthful that. And I'm right there with you on all of it.
I've loved this conversation. I kind of want to end on this one thought. There is, if you go to YouTube and you look up, there's this video describing quantum physics, right? Mm-hmm. And it talks about how you touch yourself and you're this physical being, but 99.999% of you is actually empty space, you know? And so how does that work, right? And so in quantum physics, scientists were wondering, are electrons particles or waves, you know? And so they took a bunch of electrons and they shot them and they looked like particles. And so they're like, okay, well, scientists are smart. We have to repeat the study to make sure that these are particles. These actually are particles. And so they repeat the study and they watch it. And the electrons actually showed up as waves. There was like this interference pattern, right? And so scientists' minds were blown. They're like, what are electrons, waves or particles? We've gotten two different results. They kept repeating this test over and over again. And they realized that the electron can actually change from particle to wave according to the observer. So if there's no observer, it's a particle. If there's an observer, it's a wave. So what are we? Are we actually matter or are we particle? And the answer is we still don't know. Now, here's something else that's going to blow people.
We're both.
And that's what you're saying is like, we are these like energetic beings, right? That create matter. So I want to keep going into this because electrons, we all think of like an atom, right? And it's like, oh, there's the neutrons in the middle and the electrons are orbiting it. And it's this cute little thing. But imagine a stadium, right? I want everyone to imagine like a stadium that you live by, like the BYU football stadium, and put like a few grains of salt in the middle of the stadium, or put a grain of rice in the middle of the stadium, and then take some grains of salt and have it orbiting around the stadium. How much of that? Now take the stadium away, right? Now you have this grain of rice and you have the salt orbiting in this big space. That's an atom right there. And the majority of that atom is 99.999999% empty space. Those things right there make us, right? We are made up of mostly empty space. Now, is it mostly empty space made by waves or particles? We're both. It's insanity, right? And so we want to get all mechanical about our bodies and be like, oh, it's these things and these inflammatory pathways and blah, 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 blah. But this is why intuition, and this is why meditation, and this is why visualization actually works, is because you are interfering with these energetic spheres that make up you. Right. And so it's really like we need to honor this part. We don't honor this part to our bodies. We don't honor this intelligence that made us. Right.
Yes.
This is intelligence that we don't understand, but we see it. Right. And
yes.
like maybe we weren't designed to understand it. Maybe we're not designed to understand why an electron turns into a particle and back to an electron again. Right. But we just need to understand that we can tap into that. We are these magical beings that can tap into this power and use it for our own good. If we take the time and if we slow down and if we create healthy balance again. So this has been a really great discussion, Wendy. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Can I just add one thing to your beautiful statements there?
Heck yeah.
I believe it was Einstein. I may be wrong, but I believe it was Einstein who defined space as love.
Oh, I love that. Space
that nice?
As
it really
love.
Fits.
Oh, I freaking love that.
I'm curious. So let's say if people take your course, interested, and they want to start just kind of dabbling, is there something that we can do just like today that's like, I can start playing with this idea of this intuition and tapping into that gift.
Without question. It. Yes. As a matter of fact, I'll refer to my book. It's called Essentials of Medical Intuition, A Visionary Path to Wellness. And in the book, I wove in exercises that people can start to develop their intuition. Yes.
Yeah.
So at the end of most chapters, there's little journal exercises where you can start to develop all kinds of intuition. And then there's an entire chapter that is sort of a precursor to the workshop I mentioned earlier with a similar exercises. There's also similar exercises and guided meditations on my website, thepracticalpath.com. They're what I call energy hygiene. And these are how we ground, how we shield, how we develop, how to manage our own energy so that we can kind of keep ourselves focused and our bodies and spirits aligned. So there's a lot of good stuff on there.
I love that. Wendy, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate this. This has been such an amazing discussion, and I hope it helped to expand listeners' horizons as far as understanding their bodies and taking a more holistic and intuitive approach to their healing. So thank you. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this podcast today. I don't do this a lot, but I'm going to do this because my crew, my podcasting crew, are always ask listeners to leave a review. Going to do that. I hate asking, but I'm going to do that. So if you guys like the podcast, please leave us a review. It takes like 30 seconds and we just want to hear from you. We want to hear what you like, what you don't like. So we love that you listen. I just learned this the other day. We're in the top 5% of all podcasts, you guys. And that's because of you, because everyone downloads and listens and shares. Like, these stats always blow my mind. I'm always floored by this. And so I would love to just take a selfish second to ask you guys to leave a review because I want to hear from you. I want to like put words to your imaginary face. So this is a very selfish ask. So if you have a second, leave a review and we'll catch you next week. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Gutsy Health Podcast. We hope you enjoyed and learned a lot from this episode. For more updates, follow us on Instagram @GutsyHealthPodcast.